Whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Luke 14 and verse 33. That text raises the subject of sacrifices made for Christ, and it leaves almost all of us feeling very uncomfortable. Tonight it's my privilege to tell you about a Christian who made many sacrifices for Christ. I am referring to Henry Martyn. He was born in 1781 in Truro, Cornwall. And after grammar school there, he went to Cambridge University, where his brilliance was rewarded by many prizes and many privileges. And in fact, by the time he was 21, he was regarded as Cambridge's leading classical scholar. He had the world of the universities at his feet, and had he chosen to, he could easily have made a comfortable living there. Vacation visits back home to Cornwall were not always very welcome to him, because his father and his sister Sally were both witnessing Christians. And he records in his diary that what was said to him grated on his ears. When he was 19, his father died unexpectedly, and he went through a time of very severe inward spiritual turmoil about spiritual matters. He started to read the Bible for the first time seriously, and before long, he became a Christian. As he wrote, he'd received the mercy and the forgiveness of the Son of God. Now his ambition was not to get rich quick in the legal profession as he saw it, but to be a minister of Jesus Christ. So at 23, he was ordained into the Church of England. The diaries which became available after his death showed that at the time he had been greatly influenced by reading about pioneer missionary David Brainerd. And that reading was one of the great influences that made him decide that his life was going to be given as the life of a missionary abroad. One entry he wrote in his journal at the time says, "Let me forget the world and be swallowed up in a desire to glorify God." There was no romanticism, no heroics in this decision. He foresaw pain, problems, disappointments, and all the time his fellow academics were saying he was wasting himself, and the idea was madness. Nevertheless, after helping as Charles Simeon's curate for a while, he was accepted as a chaplain of the then powerful East India Company. Now, this job would give him access to the people of India, which was what he wanted, as well as to the Europeans who were out there. So at 24, he joined a ship bound for India. Now, here was a sacrifice which really hurt, for he was leaving behind Lydia Grenfell. The two of them had been in love for over a year, but Lydia's non-Christian mother had poisoned her mind against the so-called crazy idea of going to India as a missionary. If Henry Martyn had chosen the career of a university professor or as an evangelical country clergyman, perhaps they would have been married already. Lydia said neither yes nor no to his proposal, and he was left thinking it was possible she would join him in India later. He tried to forget her, and he couldn't. His diaries say, "I used to awake in the night with my mind full of her." And years later, when her diaries were found, it became clear that Lydia Grenfell had all the time wanted to be Lydia Martyn. So the torture of frustrated love had affected both of them. Henry Martin had to make a choice. Would it be Lydia or would it be India? He returned to his ship and he never saw her again. He'd chosen to obey Christ's great commission. The voyage to Calcutta took 9 months, and in his journal he wrote, "Hitherto I have lived to little purpose. Now let me burn out for God." And after he saw the state of the people, he wrote, "I lay in tears praying for the unfortunate people of India." Quickly he mastered Hindustani, and he was soon preaching to hundreds of them. But more significantly, he used his gift for languages to translate scripture into Hindustani. Nearby was the famous William Carey, and they became firm friends. And by the way, while preparing this, I noticed that book after book kept saying William Carey was the father of modern missions, because he had arrived in India in 1793. But Carey's own mission station at Serampore had been started by German missionaries in 1706. And Henry Martin's colleague, David Brown, had arrived 7 years before Carey. So although it doesn't diminish Carey's great achievement in any way, he was not the first modern missionary to India. Meanwhile, Henry Martin had gone to Cawnpore. From now on, every time he preached, he got stabbing pains in his chest, which went on for days afterwards. It was the TB beginning to get a hold of him. His ambition now was to translate the scriptures into Persian. He travelled from India to Persia so he could make the translation as perfect as possible. After 8.5 months, he had it ready for the printer. He had worked in temperatures often as high as 126 Fahrenheit, and we were hot here when it went above 80 a few weeks ago. He actually put a wet blanket round his body in an attempt to keep on working. His journal records, "In prayer at night, my soul panted after God, my God, and I longed to be entirely conformed to his image. Oh, how every hour is lost that is not spent in the love and contemplation of my God." He was now living in the heart of the Muslim world. He was writing tracts for them. He was witnessing personally to the mullahs at considerable danger, I might say. He wanted to translate scripture into Arabic, and he set out on a journey which he would never complete. For halfway across Turkey, he died of fever. He was 31. He left behind quite excellent translations of scripture into Hindustani and Persian. He pioneered Witness for Christ into Islamic lands. He had an all-consuming zeal and love for Christ. He had a delight in prayer and an intense devotion to the Word of God. And his diaries tell us that behind the scenes, he was fasting regularly. He was utterly convinced of what we would call the doctrines of grace. In other words, he was Reformed or Calvinistic. He had sacrificed a comfortable career, either as a university professor or as an Anglican minister. He had sacrificed a marriage which both parties wanted. He had sacrificed the comforts of home. He had sacrificed his health. And finally, he sacrificed his life. And if we are Christians, it is a reasonable question to say, and what sacrifices do we make for Christ?